Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast with your hosts, Taylor B. and The Bagels.
Hello!
And a very, very special guest host, the Snug Samurai.
How's himself. It going?
Glad to have you here. Snug, for anyone who might be, you know, in the off chance someone didn't hear about you first for this recording, how can people find you?
Yeah, I mean, just somewhere if my name doesn't pop up on the internet. I stream on Twitch, so twitch.tv/SnugSamurai, by the way.
Nice.
But otherwise, my social on Twitter, SnugSamurai, no space or anything like that, but yeah.
Groovy. All right. And Snug or Greg, as we like to call him. I'm sorry. I'll edit that out. I'll edit that out if like you have a secret identity.
No, that's your main name. It's actually in my bio too. I just want to be a person. I'm a Snug.
But he's an old friend of ours, and he's also, like, since we first used to run stuff, become quite the streamer. I don't mean to brag about my friend, but he is quite the guy. He's quite the guy with quite the like little fan base. I'm not going to regret.
It's actually a quick side note. It's actually funny though. Like, I mean, I go by Snug Samurai, and there's like the few personal friends that call me Greg, and I kind of relate to Dave Bird. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a rapper. Mm-hmm. He goes by Little Dicky, and he like actually introduces himself as Dave, but people just call him by his rap name. So I feel like that in my Twitch identity. I'm like, yeah, I'm Greg. Oh, you're Snug Samurai. Oh yeah, that too. Yeah.
I really appreciate that. Based on like recent shows that I've been watching. So you're like a real streamer, right?
Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah. There's a classification out there.
So that's great. We invited the Snug Samurai Greg to join us on the show because we're doing a very very cool sort of a fresh theory that we've got for everyone this week. The theory, the bones of it, is that Werner 9940, the vendor for Kallus on Nessus, on his little opulent barge there, used to be a Red Jack, a la Shax, Lord Shax, and of Crucible and SRL fame. The Red Jacks are sort of a guardian human and also frame group of people that kind of go in and clear stuff out. They're kind of like a strike team. They're very badass. And the theory is that based on sort of the cards we learn about certain Red Jacks like Arcite and Dahlia, that through their growth as frames, you know, they do this thing where they upload each other's battle data to one another at the end of each thing between missions, so that they all grow from each other's experience. And the idea is that in perhaps some of the later missions, or perhaps at some point, a frame was lost and repurposed by Kallus to become one of his greatest shadows, if the lore goes correctly, because as some of you might know, Werner has cleared the Leviathan solo. And he didn't even stream it. He just did it for fun.
Yeah, there's a time for that, but he only owns it.
And so the bones of it really, really rely on the fact that we don't have a full list of any unit of, you know, the full Red Jack frame list. We don't have a list to go off of. The whole crux of it is really relying upon the idea that they lost more than have stayed behind in the tower. To date, I think we only really know that Dahlia and Arcite have survived the plethora of missions that they were sent out on. And I think there might be an argument, sort of sidebar, guys, I think there might be an argument that Arcite is now kept in the tower because he has the most battle data. So every time they add a new frame, they'll just get everything that he knows. Kind of like how they, I don't need to bring Star Wars into this. But yes, it's a very cool theory. Now, I will say from my standpoint, guys, I don't think there's a lot to connect these dots, but there's not a lot to block them either. I think it's, as we are now at the time of this recording, I don't think there's a lot of gymnastics that anyone would have to do to make this work, but it's not spelled out either. What do you think, the Bagels?
So a little bit of background on 9940 frames. So what we know so far, I think it's 55, 30 frames and then 99, 40 frames that we have in the Destiny lore universe. Mm-hmm. So all the 99, 40 frames that we're aware of include the likes of Arcite and Delilah, or excuse me, not Delilah, what is
Dahlia? I keep wanting to call her Delilah too, and I keep like every time I was reading those lore cards, I was like, "Hey there, Delilah.
We're names.
Here in the lesson." Right?
but regardless, from what we know, that most of the 99-40 frames, they appear to be a lot of them appear to be combat frames, whereas the 55-30 frames, they appear to be more like vendors in the likes of Katie in the tower. Or like that, something like that. So we know that in the case of Werner, that he is a 99-40 frame. This certainly builds into the concept that he could be a combat frame, and in fact, we have significant evidence from him himself being a shadow, being the testament of Kallus's will in our play area, that is our solar system, that he is certainly an accomplished combat unit as a frame. So it certainly builds into the concept that as a combat frame, what were the combat frames used for? They were used for often as rejects. So it certainly plays right into that.
And only to add to that, Kallus's other frame vendor is Benedict. Benedict is also a 99-40. So it would make sense that if Kallus was able to repurpose or reprogram these sort of infiltrator frames, that he got them from those that were lost in sort of a, you know, missions away from the tower, rather than like, I think as a lot of us originally thought with Benedict, at least, like he was a sweeper bot.
Yeah, skilled with the broom.
Yeah.
I just want to see him swing it like a ninja now.
Yeah. Oh.
So Greg, what are your initial thoughts?
I mean, it definitely, I mean, again, this theory definitely has legs and there's nothing stopping it, like you said. And I don't necessarily, like, I mean, when you look at the list of like known shadows that Kallus has, and for Kallus to go through that process of, you know, repurposing a frame, no less, this mindless, sentient, like lightless robot, basically. And it's risen to become Kallus's advocate. So it's right. Basically a point of leadership.
Right.
And so I would imagine that, yeah, this isn't exactly your door-to-door vendor robot. Like that's going to take some skill, especially if it can go in and essentially assassinate and clear out huge, you know, vessels like the Leviathan and essentially do the Emperor's bidding. So this is a prestigious robot and not exactly somebody like Benedict. Sorry, Benedict.
And that makes me kind of, I think you raise a good point. Now, so would you say, I never really considered this, he's in command of that barge, isn't he?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the status that he has, I mean, essentially he's our point of contact throughout the entire season of Opulence. So, I mean, that's a lot of trust from this, you know, very prestigious, ominous, like, figure that we never really meet. And for Werner to be, like, this voice, if you will, like, that's a lot of trust, considering the fact that, you know, spoilers for those that haven't done it, you know, another one of his shadows, Galran, you know, there's the list is very huge. Like if you look at all these names, like these are people that have done like some pretty amazing stuff. Yet Werner is the one that stands out and is chosen. So that's something.
And isn't dead.
Correct.
I feel like aside from like us and Werner, I can't think of a living shadow.
Yeah.
Like I can't even think of one. They all died like doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to get Gaul, and then like when from the in game standpoint, I gotta say like taking down Gaul myself.
Mm.
I'm kind of like, how badass could these guys be? I just wonder.
Exactly. Yeah. No. 100%
I just
agree.
Wonder because if you guys are like me, I tend to do the story missions, just the story missions, solo. Because it's more like a private game experience. I don't have to worry about people talking during cutscenes and stuff like that. Like it's just a little more a little more personal and immersive, and I just enjoy that. Nothing wrong with playing it the other way too, though.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, that mission was tough, but like if you die when you're solo, like ooh, better start over. Like you don't get to re-res at that last part. So, I kind of felt like some of these guys were maybe not as impressive as they made them out to be. I felt like it was another Crota situation.
Yeah.
Where, like Crota in the lore versus Crota in game.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Crota in the lore is this. It's the super jacked SpongeBob. and then Crota in game is the popsicle SpongeBob.
You're gonna look at Crota the same, dude.
I really believe, much to mirror what you guys say, I think this has a lot of legs. But you know, it's not. Destiny tends to be a very deliberate game, and I think they're really demonstrating that. You know, all complaints about the recent seasons aside, they are tying together from the lore aspect a lot of loose ends, and they're bringing things together. So I don't think that they necessarily write something that's not to be used or add something to a character that can't be used later potentially. So I think, given what we already listed about what we know about the Red Jacks and what we know about, you know, Werner himself since he became a shadow, I think there's definitely some, you know, there's not a lot of gymnastics or leaps we have to make that work. But since we're kind of like at the point where I think we all agree that we would have to do a little bit of gymnastics to make it work. The bagels. Let's turn it up to 11. How would you make this fit?
That's a good question.
Was that too fast and furious with my commentary?
I mean, I think it's because we went up to 11.
Yeah.
All right. Let's turn it up to a conventional 10, if that makes things easier.
Yeah.
For me, what they would have to do is really just, they would have to spell it out for me. They don't have to be too great, but if they ever go back and decide to tell you how they came about Werner, or if later Werner ended up being able to infiltrate in some way, if they choose to, because we don't go to that vendor anymore. There's no reason to, especially after they made it so Benedict could also give you the same stuff. So you could do everything from the tower. Like, no one goes to Werner anymore. So if they choose to, like, reuse the ass, like, the character, the asset, not ass, but if they choose to reuse the character, I think, you know, if he, like, showed up in the tower and, like, oh, shit, he just got through everything, and they explained because, like, somehow he had the codes, like, that would be the least I think they could do to kind of, like, make this theory form. It's just missing that crucial... It's like an evolution when they said there was a missing link.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah, like that's what we need for this to work. Like everything points to it, but we need that like one thing that's the sort of in between period and information
really wanted,
about that. Yeah.
If they really wanted to turn it to 11, they could do some sort of situation where Werner, like, infiltrates the Red Jacks somehow, and, like, the Red Jacks all turn against us. It could actually be a pretty compelling story if they did it right, where...
Or he just murders all of them.
Wouldn't
be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just murders them, takes them over, something like that. It wouldn't take a whole lot, because if he's truly based on a Red Jack code, a similar code to the Red Jacks. He would certainly have some sort of inside information that would allow him to do so, to infiltrate the units of the Red Jacks.
To kind of bounce off that, like, I mean, it basically, the whole infiltration aspect, I feel like it's kind of crazy how this hasn't, you know, risen like a larger alarm, because you know, there's Werner and Benedict. Both have been repurposed by Kallus. And so no one in the tower seems to think that, oh, this is, you know, pretty suspicious or it's pretty sus, you know, that there's a frame that maybe, and that's just it. Like, I mean, I think that's a hole that could be filled if you were to make this work, so to speak, is that, you know, if Shax had taken interest into maybe a frame that had gone missing, for example, that, like, that's data that now is in Kallus's hands that's not in our hands, you know, and therefore, I mean, it could be used against us. So it's kind of like we're under his thumb. I mean, we are, but I mean, it's just, you know, where does that kind of relationship fill, I guess, with, you know, him using, used to be a frame, and then now he's an assassin, a pretty highly rated one too. And so again, there's just that data, that connection that hasn't really been filled yet, but I think that would be the way to do it, I suppose.
You know, just made me realize that our in-game narrative of, like, the Guardian not talking much, that's supposed to be a joke. Did we literally just never fucking tell anybody that there's an agent of Kallus in the tower?
We could just blame the fact that, you know, we didn't have a voice actor for that moment.
But, like, how big of a dick are we? We're, like, they're giving us all the missions, like, yeah, by the way, like, you didn't know there was an agent down there? Let's, like, remain silent, says nothing. Like that one fucking fair, dude though, in The Boys.
To be fair, that I one mean, crew. We went through this process of being unintentionally groomed by Kallus to be a shadow, because that's what Kallus considers us now, is, I mean, I don't know, like, I guess that sort of plays to the morality of maybe the Guardians are kind of teetering back and forth between, like, all right, well, is the tower, like, the end-all be-all for, like, what's said about the universe, or, you know, should we play into the hands of these other entities, like when we, you know, of course, did our business on the Dreaming City, and we were basically working with Mara. Like, there was a lot of shared information that I don't feel like was relayed back to the tower. And again, that's sort of a tangent, but kind of more towards Werner's situation. I mean, if we were to come out and say, hey, there's this shadow and a pretty highly rated one that used to be a frame, like, someone should get on this. Like, I feel like us keeping tight-lipped about that sort of shows our moral placement with where we're, you know, where we're going with the narrative, I guess. Like, we're still Guardians of the tower, but at the same time, we're open-minded to other, like, entities that are keeping their hands in the pot, so to speak, because we're not, like, fully aligned with one or the other.
I can dig that, because especially as Guardians, we're, like, what, like, seven?
yeah, you're not wrong.
Like we're not wrong. We're like 7 years old. We don't know. We're just formulating shapes, just sweet baby Jesus down in the
yeah.
But that just made me realize those are like very good points. You know, to try to formulate. I was thinking more of like Benedict, like literally in the tower, because for me, Werner, like being on Nessus, like just below where the Leviathan is, like, to me, that'd be like, okay, like, everyone sees that. Yeah. I'm sure there's, like, surely there's people who've seen that. But, like, for me, my mind kind of goes toward the idea that either we're not saying it or they're not doing anything about it.
I think it's the Prior.
It could be
that's the what the narrative would lead us to believe. That or like I don't know, like the Vanguard does weird stuff, like the agents of the Vanguard disobey orders. Like if you go back to the Drifter and Anor,
mm-hmm.
and it's like literally all the vendors of the Vanguard, Zavala, Ikor, are telling you like, nah, let the Drifter, he's cool, let it be. And it's this rogue agent is the person you apparently side with if you're siding with the Vanguard, when literally all of the Vanguard, all two of them, tell you to, like, not listen to what she's saying, essentially.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if it's one of those things like, no, we know it's there. We want it to be there because we can keep tabs on it, like, kind of thing.
It could very much be so the Vanguard is wanting it there just as an access point to Kallus. Or it could also be that they literally are just, they have no action to take against Kallus, A, because he hasn't done anything nefarious so far, and B, we'd basically just need that. They think so at some point, just
I mean, we could use a dude as an ally who has a world-eating ship that he lives on under his command.
That's the whole point right there.
I feel like the Leviathan.
What happens if we piss him off?
like I don't know 100% about its diet, but I feel like the Leviathan could eat a whole bunch of Dorito chips. Yeah. Just the whole bag. Just right up. Which that's been getting interesting too, like little sidebar. You guys been noticing if you go back to the little map he has on IO, I think it is.
Yeah.
Like it adds more and more Doritos each week. And they're like moving up. But I think they're still even now, like they're out beyond, like they're at the like friggin' like most edge of our solar system. They're at like beyond the Kuiper belt. Mm-hmm. Still haven't been corrected on my pronunciation there, so I'm going with it.
Right until I'm wrong.
Right? Yeah, that's how I'm living life right now. But they keep like amassing out there, and I'm wondering like what's stopping them from moving in? Now, out of game, we can say it's, you know, the next expansion.
Yeah,
is what's stopping them. And I think we can all kind of agree that that's the literal case.
Yeah.
But in narrative, I'm always just like, so why would you just not, if you have that many friggin' ships, and we've been on board the babiest of ships that's somehow inside of the moon, which we've talked about on this show in an earlier episode, why
delay it? Why?
Well, it's just like, why would you wait? Like, one ship can really mess with just a whole lot, and you apparently have like tens, if not hundreds, like I don't think they have 100 of them on that board yet, but there's definitely like more than 30.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah, it's more than a few. Mm-hmm. It's just like, why not just send them all? Send them all. But maybe there's some grand master plan.
They're all afraid of Kalos. That's the whole answer.
Because the Leviathan's just gonna eat them all up.
Eat them all up. Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about the corpse that Kalos has made. I mean, he's seen that, so he knows they're out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you think about all the pieces at play, you know, there is a reason probably why they haven't moved yet. And I think it was pretty coincidental that they haven't been revealed, at least to us, from like this like third wall perspective until at the end of D2, when you beat the story and the Traveler gives off that nice little bubble of light. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that, of course, you know, activated this, like we sort of gave away our position, if you will, like, you know, oh, the Traveler's here. And so I don't necessarily think it was like a biting of time, so to speak. I think it was just more of a, we showed our hand and now it's, you know, balls in their court kind of a thing.
That'd be interesting. I'm interested for that. Like, if it were just them amassing at our border, let's call it, I would 100% be on there for it, but it really fucking bothers me that one's been at the center of the fucking moon this whole time.
Yeah. It's a bit of a left turn narrative.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, all right. And it's not like it teleported there and, like, shifted the whole surface of the moon.
Yeah.
Like, no, the moon formed around that millions of years ago.
Well, not only that, but like through the dark below too. Like, I mean, we've been all over and inside this moon. So yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I can basically share that sentiment because it's like, how does this go unnoticed when we've sent multiple fire teams here?
At least with Dark Below, I feel like you go into, Crota's throne world.
Mm-hmm.
Once you like dive super deep down, so I feel like there's at least like a bit of a, like, okay, like I wasn't really going that deep in the moon. Like I went in over to in like the upside down version of the moon.
Like, we set up shop there though, you know, like we had a base there and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I mean, again, like nothing. Like
yeah, it's so weird that the only previous reference to anything close to the symptoms experienced from the pyramid are just the Revelation team, and that's it. Like
exactly.
they didn't even know what they were getting into. Like they had no reference to this ship, just an anomaly.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
So somehow it must resist scanning. That somehow in the universe. That's the only way it makes even remotely like makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that, like, maybe the only way I could, like, mentally make that work is if the ships are just conduits for something. So maybe that was there, but to Greg's point, we put up a flag. Or we made the Traveler put up a flag when we woke it up.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, I kind of think personally that Gaul woke it up. And we kind of forced his hand in that, but that's just me, like, splitting hairs. I think from that same point, yes, that's when it was. And if these things are just conduits of whatever controls them, the darkness, some people want to call it the Winnower, but, like, I really have a problem with that because that whole story was sort of, like, they say within the story that it's put into terms that we can understand.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, no, these aren't, like... Don't call him the Winnower. Don't call the Traveler. Like, come on. But I think from that standpoint, it's kind of,
we're supposed to take that lore book as like a nursery rhyme, almost. It's don't take it as at its face value. It is it's applying terms to abstract constructs that we can otherwise understand, basically.
Exactly, but where I was going with that, it was just that if these are conduits to that, to Greg's point, and you know the flag was raised, that's why it activated subsequently. That's why it wasn't a worry before.
Sure.
And I think that would make a lot of sense. Like if these things are conduits for whatever they do, because honestly, we've never seen anything fresh come out of the triangle ships, the pyramid ships, the isosceles pyramid ships.
Yeah.
We've only seen a hive that were affected by their presence, and we've gone inside and basically what we thought were nightmares, which are non-like corporeal like things.
Yeah. So we really have no idea what race is associated with.
Right. So if we woke it up, the idea that a bunch more of these conduits is still scary, but that
100%.
That 100%. Well, thank you. But that also gives me a little like a little explanation as to why maybe the pyramid ship that's been in the center of the moon the whole time hasn't been a worry because they weren't using it. They weren't using it as their conduit.
Dormant. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, guys, I think we're at a good point to do final time, our final score. So, Greg, if you don't know, this is a score that means nothing. You can use plus, negative, you can give whatever number you want, and you can say like plus 25 plausible, plus negative 6, not gonna happen. But please follow our lead.
Sure.
So the bagels, what is your score here?
I'm gonna give it an 81, which I'm approximating as Werner's unit number in the Red Jacks.
Ooh,
wise man.
Ooh. I'm gonna give it an 82, not to one up you, but to be like 81 as well, but like I can't quantify that. So I'm gonna be 82 plausible.
I'll go to plus 99 just because it's, ooh, you know,
it's a
that unit number. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Hoisted by our own petard there. Well, that was great. That was great. So I guess to do a little housekeeping here, if you are looking for us, the Spinfoil Theory podcast, you can find us at Spinfoil Theory on Podbean, at Spinfoil Theory on Twitter, as well as you can email us at spinfoiltheory@gmail.com. If you are looking for me, Taylor B., you can find me on Twitter at thisisredleader, L-I-T-R-E, all one word. And the bagels tends to, like, murk in the LFG swamps and wrap up when he needs to accomplish something. The bagels, is there any other like secret place they could find you if they wanted to reach out to you specifically?
You can summon me via arcane means in all the LFGs just by saying my name 3 times. It does work.
Do they need a mirror?
I'm gonna try it.
Try it, I dare you.
You have to add him. You can't just say it.
My fire team. Wow. Okay. I set this to private. How'd this happen?
Greg, I know you went over it at the beginning, but is there any special way people might find you or need to at you about lore that they can get at you that you haven't already listed?
I'm pretty complicated to find, you know, Snug Samurai. I use a different, I'm just kidding. It's all Snug Samurai. One word, typically, twitch.tv/Snug Samurai. I stream Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @SnugSamurai. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't have a special call tag where you say my name 3 times and I'll show up.
I kind of want to take this back to our early raid team clan days where we both had hyphens in our names.
Yeah.
And you were G hyphen runes.
Yeah. The hyphen had power. I've learned a lot.
That's why I was Taylor hyphen B hyphen.
Exactly. You went up to me with two hyphens.
Yeah. Anyone could just hyphen, but could you hyphen while you B hyphen? Maybe not.
That's why this thing has legs, because it's Werner 99-40. There you go.
Ooh.
That's all you need. That's all you need. The power
hyphen
of the hyphen
was all we needed for the hyphen.
It was right in front of us the whole time.
I can't believe we didn't see it before. with that, everyone, any shout outs you guys want to make? The Bagels or Greg?
None. This is great. It's nice to kind of, you know, look at the game from something like an inside out perspective. You know, we kind of get the lore that we're given to us through gameplay, but to sort of pick apart at the supporting characters and the supporting theories around the game is sort of gives it life from a new perspective. So yeah, this is nice.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Well, we are definitely inviting you back. You are...
Oh, snap. You see that? That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Future guest hosts. That's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. He just networked right there. The Bagels, any shout outs?
Yeah, shout out to all my hunters. I just want to say we're strong, independent, and guardian. Don't need no medals. Because clearly, we don't need no medals.
Dude, it broke my heart when I first logged into Destiny today. The flags were hunters were on top. And then when I turned in all my medals later, it was just as it's been pretty much every day since day one. I'm going to give a shout out to all of the people who are listening to us as their first time. Thank you for giving us a chance. I know you were probably here as a result of wanting to hear more Greg.
Wasn't expecting that.
Oh, that was, I know I snuck it in there, but you're really kicking ass out there, man. I'm very proud of you as someone who is your friend before you were such a streaming success. So I really do want to give a shout out to regardless of whether or not they listen to me, I want to give a shout out to you and your fan base, because I've sat in on a couple streams. I was a little sneaky boy.
Sneaky.
Yeah, I was a little sneaky boy. And you guys are just super, super duper, just great vibe, great energy, very positive. And you genuinely seem to have fun, and you try to keep that vibe going. You don't go for the petty bullshit, and I think that's great. So that's my shout out is to our guest and his community.
We go hard with our softness.
Boom. Would you say that you're ruthlessly chivalrous?
You're not wrong. Yes. Shout out to the OG days.
That's right. Well, with that, that's all I think we have for you this week. So everyone stay safe out there, stay sane, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.